We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
Just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is the second hour of Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, and it continues to be the 20th of November, 2010. Warner, did you have anything else?
Your previous caller, he brought up the issue about the ranchers out there in out west.
Mm-hmm.
I followed up a couple cases in Colorado in the last couple months. Mm-hmm. Where basically they use government agencies to put the ranchers out of business. And I talked to both ranchers personally. There's one fellow, Vern Wagner, another one, Gilbert Schumann. And it looks to me pretty much like a setup. They had lost, by the end of the winter, they had lost quite a few cattle. And the government agency and the Colorado Department of Agriculture wants to blame it on the ranchers. And I looked at the pictures of those cattle, and I spoke to the ranchers. And as I say, it looks a lot like the stunts that have been pulled off here in New Brunswick. And I think this has been going on all across the continent. And they're using the government agencies, the veterinarians, and so, in order to get the farmers off the land and put them out of, and the ranchers out of business. But here is one alternative to the public, most of them who haven't woken up to the issue, and that is, would you rather eat beef that comes from cattle that have grazed on the range, or would you want to eat beef that's been fed in feedlot, all cooped up, you know, in dirty feedlots, and fed all kind of hormones and antibiotics in order to stave off diseases?
Yeah.
I think the public has to make a choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
for many generations, the farmers and ranchers have supplied the population with a good, healthy food. And right now, we are living basically in a way underneath the dictatorship of the so-called experts.
Yeah.
And when we look at their track record, you know, the higher the education, the worse they messing up the environment, and the more chaos they create all the way through.
That's right. Hey, Warner, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm up against the clock here. I got a break. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Everything is being done, listeners, to empower the multinational corporations. We have a fascist system of government being developed before us. I mentioned earlier about the airport security situation. We're going to be bringing up Doreen Hannes here in just a moment to talk about the food safety legislation that's currently pending in Congress. But I think the airport security ties in closely with this issue, because I think what we're headed for is privatization. There's calls now to eliminate the TSA. And I think nothing is ever drummed up in the controlled media without having some ulterior motive. Stay with us. This is Govern America. Don't go away.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739, 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
We're back. This is Government America. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue on here, we have Doreen Hannes waiting in the wings, and I want to get to her as quickly as possible. Real quickly, though, I want to point out here regarding this airport security thing. I think we have to keep coming back to the Hegelian dialectic, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever you see an issue talked about in the media, whenever you see something being paid to and drummed up, the drums are just beating. The public's being bombarded with things, and on the surface you can say, well, this is really good. They're finally getting this stuff out into the forefront. It's really good that outrage has been created. You got to ask yourself the question, wait a minute. Why, knowing that the media is controlled, knowing that these people continually lie and propagandize the public, why? Why are they beating this drum? Why are they building up airport security as being too invasive? I mean, we got stories now about how TSA agents are putting their hand down people's pants. You got saved naked body scanner images that are leaked out on the internet. There was a video on the internet about, showing a three-year-old being searched, being frisked, being basically fondled, for lack of a better word, by TSA agents. We got the National Opt-Out Day coming up this Wednesday, where they're asking people to basically boycott these airport stations. We got people being investigated, though, for resisting and being threatened with fines of thousands of dollars. People being told that they have to give up their rights, that they did give up their rights when they bought airline tickets. Why is all this going on, ladies and gentlemen? In the meantime, you got the National Journal reporting that pilots are meeting now. The pilots' unions are meeting to discuss the possibility of switching to some kind of biometric system at airport security checkpoints so the pilots can basically be biometrically identified and bypass the frisking and groping and the naked body scanners. Okay, we know that Michael Chertoff is cashing in. He's making millions off these scanners. But I also want to bring into the forefront, and again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we have to understand privatization, ladies and gentlemen, is the name of the game. Every area of the government is being privatized today, and you can have foreign companies and foreign countries coming in, taking up our, they're already doing this. They're buying up our roads, our bridges, our natural resources. So America is being sold off. And I want to introduce the thought into your mind, folks, that the possibility exists that in the future we could end up having foreigners policing our airports. And it's not just going to be airports today. It's the airports tomorrow. It's going to be the bus stations, the train stations, every place you go, maybe even buildings. You might not be able to go to the grocery store without going through this type of security. All they have to do is set off a bomb or even threaten, have a threat here or there, make it high profile, beat, drum it up in the media, and then you have this going on. So I just want to bring that to your attention. I want to leave that there, move along to food safety, and a lot of other things happening with regard to our food supply with Doreen Hannes. She has been active for several years at exposing the agencies and organizations that desire to control the food supply through an international agreement, treaties, and the agency rulemaking and legislative processes. She's a married homesteader. She's a raiser of food, critters, and children, and she's dedicated herself to exposing the truth behind the disinfo being spouted by those who would benefit financially from controlling independent agriculture. Doreen Hannes is joining us again here on Govern America. Thank you so much for being with us on such short notice, Doreen.
Well, you're welcome. It's kind of like that these days. Everything seems to be in a panic.
My goodness, you know, I sit down here to do show prep, and I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I'm going through all this stuff that I've been collecting all week, you know, just reading this. And I'm overwhelmed on a daily basis. I know you used to be a talk show host yourself. People can get your archives off the Internet, but I don't know. It's just so much is happening today, it's hard to keep track of it all.
Well, I don't really think it's humanly possible to keep track of it all, Darren, but we can keep track of some of it. And, you know, another thing, if things are bad enough, we don't have to make anything up. They are really, really horrible, and it doesn't look as if they're going to get better anytime soon. But you were talking earlier about, you know, the privatizing of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me, and I don't recall exactly the quote, but Al Gore back in the late 90s said something about, oh, kind of making the government more customer friendly.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody, you know,
reinventing government.
There you go, reinventing government. And since that time, it's like they continue to refer to us, particularly the IRS, while they play the Nutcracker Suite when somebody's on hold with them, they say, we're interested in providing you with excellent customer service. It's
I don't think I want their brand of customer service.
I don't think anybody wants it, you know.
To your house with guns and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Very much the same way that we're seeing these food raids take place with guns, you know.
Right.
That's pretty interesting, and I'd like to get into Morningland Dairy a little later on as well. But, you know, this bill that's in Congress right now, and actually I shouldn't say this bill because there's really more than one, isn't there? I mean, S-510 is just one that's being kicked around right now in the Senate.
That's
but,
correct.
But there's already a bill that passed in the House, and,
mm-hmm.
and are there others as well?
The ones with wheels are the one that passed the House, which is H.R. 2749 and now 510.
Okay.
One of the issues with legislation that people have to be aware of is, well, there's a number, but number one is it's not done until it's actually signed by the president or the governor or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
we are looking at the third incarnation of Senate Bill 510. And there are a number of amendments that are being floated to try to make it a little bit more palatable. Mm-hmm. They all still have the same poison value in them, though, you know. So S-510, 2749 are the ones with wheels. There were, in the last session of the legislature at the federal level, there were no less than 18 food safety bills.
Oh, my goodness.
It was H.R. 875, 759, 1332. Those are numbers that I can just recall off the top of my head. But the movers are 2749 and 510. And the effective thing, which is important for people to understand, they do indeed bring regulation to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just all about processors.
Yeah, you know, these bills that are being introduced, you know, earlier in the last hour, I just spent quite a deal of time reading off a laundry list of legislation to lock up more and more property, and that's mm-hmm. what some of the callers you may have heard, I don't know when you joined, but some of the callers were talking about how forming a correlation between the control of the food supply, the control of our ranches and farms, and this food control bill. I really don't think it's by accident that we have the locking of the land up on one hand, and then the highly regulatory concentration of regulations on the other. And we know pretty much that these multinational processing and farming entities, such as Monsanto, you know, they have a big hand in these legislative measures, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do. What they really have the largest amount of control in is the promulgation of the regulations. Now, any piece of legislation, almost any piece of legislation, gives agencies the authority to write regulations and enforce those regulations on the people that they deem subject to the enforcement. That is what is really important for people to understand. Almost every piece of legislation out there is just giving more agency authority. Now, the issue with that, on the federal level particularly, and it's the same on state level, but maybe not quite as apparent, we have a revolving door between the heads of agencies and the multinational corporations that benefit from consolidating and concentrating markets and market access. Okay, so Monsanto, while it, Senate Bill 510, H.R. 2749, they don't actually have anything in there that explicitly points to Monsanto, but the control measures are definitely things that Monsanto will benefit from. And these regulations are waiting in the wings to just be put out into the Federal Register, and then typically they have a comment period on the regulations, and then they are implemented. And these bills require implementation, for the most part, 180 days after the bill is signed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so the comment period is basically just to make it look like they're playing fair.
Well, the comment period is just ludicrous. I mean, I don't know if your listeners are aware of like this level 4 biosecurity lab called Plum Island?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe they probably are. I haven't talked about that particular one, but I know Jesse Ventura has the put out the conspiracy theory thing on that. And anyway, go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, okay. Plum Island was off of New York, out in the ocean, about 2 miles from the shore. And they deal with things like Ebola, hoof and mouth, all sorts of diseases that can be zoonotic, meaning they affect animals as well as people,
mm-hmm.
or they can just be animal diseases. And they took, this is just funny. I mean, if it weren't so dreadfully serious, it would be really funny.
Yeah.
They took Plum Island and decided to move that facility that had a natural barrier to the middle of cattle country in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, right? And, you know, I just saw an article regarding that said something about to the effect of there's like a 70% chance that certain organisms could actually leak out of that as well. Hey, we're up against the clock. Let's take a break. We'll be back, folks. Stay with us.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is Govern America. I'm Darren Wiggs. As we continue on here, we're visiting with Doreen Hannes, and her website is linked up with ours, truth-farmer.blogspot.com. So go there. And also we have the link to the website that you can support, Morningland Dairy and Farm, and we'll have more about that later. Doreen, before the break, you were talking about the Plum Island facility and the fact that they're getting ready to relocate the thing into America's heartland, basically, cattle country.
Oh, yes. Yes, Manhattan, Kansas. And the thing about it is they took comments for, you know, the time period that they're required to under the Administrative Procedures Act, and 12,000 comments against relocating Plum Island to a place with no natural barrier like the ocean and the dangers that are associated with the diseases that they work with there. And they just went ahead and did it anyway. They said, okay, we took all of your objections. Thank you very much. This is what we're doing. So that's how much of an effect you can have on the regulatory process. Really next to none. You can muddy it up a bit by having excessive amounts of comments, and they're technically supposed to answer objections, but agencies almost always don't. They just move ahead with their plan. So this
I was just going to say, it's almost like this comment period is kind of like part of the Delphi technique, where they can seek comments from people with the idea that they're going to bring about their own consensus and basically dialogue people into consensus. It's just like, just to make the process look like they're being fair, when in all actuality, you don't really have a say in it.
That's a really excellent analogy, Darren. Yes. It is part of the Delphi technique, as near as I can tell, you know, at this juncture in our nation's history. So at any rate, that's what is happening with Senate Bill 510. The FDA is getting greatly expanded authority, and it also extends to the Department of Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, which is on top of the FDA, actually, and also the CDC. So we're giving all of this authority, and the authority consists of basically monitoring, surveilling, inspecting, auditing, certifying, licensing all food.
Mm-hmm.
And the amendments
my understanding is that the H.R. 2749, I read in the summary of that bill that they basically are, they have exempted the regular, like the individuals who have gardens in their backyard, they've exempted that from the control. But I'm guessing that if you tried to sell your food, like on a roadside stand or give it to somebody, that you'd still end up running afoul of the system if they found out about it, right?
Well, yes, you would end up running afoul of the system, just as you said. Now, something that's very important for people to understand is that Wickard versus Filburn already has decided by the Supreme Court that if you grow something, even if it's for your own use, you are affecting interstate commerce. Because if you hadn't grown it, you would have to buy it. And if you had to buy it, it would likely come through interstate commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So the Interstate Commerce Clause, now this is kind of the jurisdictional issue. Usually in these pieces of legislation, like the food safety bills that we're talking about, H.R. 2749 expressly states it. Senate Bill 510 doesn't expressly state it, but usually they have a codicil in there where it says that this does not affect the jurisdiction of the other agencies involved. In this case, it would be the USDA and the FDA. Okay? We have a really large delusion going on in this country about the authority of the USDA and the FDA. The FDA has authority over live food animals on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
The USDA's authority is over the disease in livestock. It's not over the actual live food animal themselves. So Senate Bill 510 and H.R. 2749 ensconce in statute good agricultural practices. Good agricultural practices are not necessarily good, but a really onerous system of certifying and verifying and auditing and inspecting every single process involved with production of food.
So instead of really good agricultural practices, what we're really talking about is approved agricultural practices. And really, because, I mean, I think historically we've really had good agricultural practices. We have really the highest standards of any country in the world, don't we?
For the most part, we do, yes. We have some standards on food, the actual, you know, right prior to consumption, that are really deficient. But as far as agricultural production, yes. Now, one of the problems that we do have is because of the consolidation that's occurred in agriculture.
Okay, hold your thoughts right there. Unfortunately, I got to go to the break again. Folks, if you'd like to join in, you're certainly welcome to do that. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We're visiting with Doreen Hannes, and we're talking about the food safety legislation that's currently pending in Congress, and your phone calls are welcome. Don't go away. Governed America continues here after the break.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Jared Wiggs. As we continue on here with Doreen Hannes, she has been working many, many years to fight the corruption as far as agriculture and food safety, regulation on our farms and our food suppliers, the control, the incredible increasing control of the multinational corporations, and consolidation of our food supply under a handful of companies. Her website is truthfarmer.blogspot.com, and there is a hyphen between the words truth and farmer. That's truth-farmer.blogspot.com. It's linked up with ours at governamerica.com. And you can go to the website uncheeseparty.wordpress.com and help to donate to help the folks at Morningland Dairy and Farm. And we'll talk about them here in a little bit. Before the break, Doreen, you were talking about the good agricultural practices, which seems to be the goal of S-510 and this food safety legislation. By good agricultural practices, would this tie it all into the World Trade Organization's Codex Alimentarius standards?
Absolutely. There are three agencies at the international level under the WTO that have control of agriculture. Those are Codex Alimentarius, like the global USDA, the OIE, which is the World Animal Health Organization, the global USDA for animals, and then the International Plant Protection Convention, which is like the global USDA for plants. And good agricultural practices are a conglomeration of standards and guidelines from those three agencies that are predicated upon traceability. And what traceability is identifying the property, identifying the product, and tracking that product all the way through from seed to effectively sewer. Okay?
So,
and actually,
the letters NAIS come to mind when you're talking about traceability.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And NAIS was the harmonization and standardization in law in the United States for our animal agricultural sector. Now, they in 510 and in 2749, the agencies are being given statutory authority to require and enforce traceability in everything that can be eaten.
So
the bureaucracy is really, really intense. If you think about this, what is it going to be like if you're a farmer and you want to grow tomatoes? You have to have your ground approved. You have to have your water approved. You have to have the seed you want to plant approved. You have to have your fertilizer methods approved. You have to also report when you fertilized, who fertilized, and you have to keep track of all of your inputs on that, all of your costs associated with it. Then when you harvest, you have to report who harvested it, what truck it went on, and who the driver was for that truck and the destination for that truck, as well as anyone who enters into the field in which you're growing food, and keep nature out of the growing process. You have to have a 30-foot outset for any pests. Deer running across the field will cause that to be a condemned field.
Wow.
And that's good agricultural practices.
Wow. Yeah, that, you know, and I don't think the average person has any idea just what a bureaucratic nightmare all of this is. You know, and we come back to the multinational corporations for a moment. They're probably not going to have to comply with a lot of this stuff, are they?
Well, at issue here, we've got, like, economies of scale coming into play. When you have a huge corporation that has a great amount of market share for consumption through the grocery sector, they can control the manner in which a grower grows food. Like if you think about the chicken industry, this is the one that's the easiest to draw the parallel to. Mm-hmm. The chicken farmers get their chickens, although they're not their chickens, they get the company's chickens from them. They have to feed them and water them in a particularly designed facility according to the edicts of the company that's providing the chickens and buying their labor for growing them out. Although the one who grows them out has to pay for the land, pay for the barn, provide all the labor, pay for the electricity, everything else that's involved.
Hmm.
So it's serfdom is what we get.
Yeah, and there's no way that any private farmer could ever really comply with all this. It's going to cost a fortune to be able to keep track of every little detail of your operation. You'd have to have staff members to do that.
That's right. You would have to.
It looks to me like, you know, and I think it's pretty obvious what's happening here. They're forcing, this is an attempt with the ever-increasing expansion of government authority and the concentration of regulations upon the small producer. This is an effort really to force the small producer, you know, those family farms, the few that are hanging on for dear life,
yes.
It's an attempt to force them completely out of business, isn't it?
Well, I would say so. And one might argue that, you know, a natural and healthy reaction from this consolidation, the corporatization and industrialization that's occurred in agriculture, mm-hmm. we've got the only growing segment of the economy really being small farmers selling directly to consumers. And this legislation, in its final tally, it might take a couple of years, but it will destroy independent agriculture entirely.
You know, Doreen, I wonder about the whole interstate commerce thing. You know, if you got farmers that are in the states that are selling to other people in the states, really the federal government doesn't really have authority over them. I mean, can they continue to regulate? I mean, if the states stand up and do their job and throw these scum buckets out, couldn't we at least, I mean, I realize that would limit the market, but couldn't we at least sell to each other?
You know, that's the theory, Darren, but the problem is in S-510, not the current one, but the one preceding that, it had in there a clause that overthrew the state's discretion within its boundaries. The states have to comply with these federal regulations because the states take money from the feds.
There you go. There you go. Therein lies the rub. Everything is being done to get around constitutional restrictions by paying the states money, doling out all these federal funds. And we're really seeing this at every level of government.
Yeah, it's the exact same MO, but the reason I'm so concerned with agriculture is because, you know, we need two things, definitely. We've got to have food and we've got to have water. And agriculture is dependent upon being able to use your property to create wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I think that food's the new money with the way everything is going, you know. And when they control our ability to grow food without massive bureaucratic oversight, they've got control of us entirely. And the good agricultural practices are being implemented globally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recipe for global famine.
Yeah. Yeah, what, you know, folks, you know, people have been calling us conspiracy nuts for years when we talk about a global government, we talk about a new world order, yet George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, before him can get on TV, you banner around this phrase, kick around this phrase, new world order. You got other people like Henry Kissinger throwing new world order out there. I mean, it's become a regular term, a vernacular that's being used in everyday discourse anymore. And yet we're seeing this whole thing be formed, Doreen. If you're going to merge the entire world together, different countries that have different laws, different countries that have different regulations, you have different standards of living, then you kind of have to start to synchronize the different laws and regulations and everything to kind of fit it all together like pieces of the puzzle. And that's what I really see happening here.
That's exactly what's happening. And one of the objectives of the WTO and the agencies that regulate in various fields under the WTO is that the member countries are required to get the legal framework in position to harmonize and standardize the entire globe and to make the WTO agreements effectively law everywhere and the same law everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
We're under global government. What we're witnessing, Darren, is the breaking down of the legal barriers to complete, you know, global control in the United States through the Financial Marketing Stabilization Act, the Clean Water Restoration Act, Senate Bill 510, the Real ID Act, I mean, on and on, ad infinitum, ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
But these things are important because you have to have people to enforce these laws. And when it's in statute, especially with the economy the way it is, and I think the government is the number one employer any longer, you got
to
justify
it. Headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's a very important point for people to grasp is that we're under global government already. What we're witnessing is just the codifying and the enforcement authority being given to the various agencies in various countries. In Canada, they've got a food safety bill very, very similar to this. It's called C6. Australia's had one already. And in the UK, they're working this through their parliament in different segments. They're doing it a little bit more incrementally there. But this is happening all over the world. India even has one of these food safety type bills. Very, very similar.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all. Under this particular legislation, S-510, it basically puts the secretary in complete control. Doesn't he have absolute discretion to determine who gets raided, basically, and shut down and who doesn't?
Yes. Instead of having to have credible evidence anymore to close down a business, all the secretary has to have is a reason to believe that there may be a danger there.
So basically, just as a hypothetical here, if somebody kind of ruffles a little feathers in the government, and basically they're a political protester, they could potentially be targeted if they happen to be, connected with any kind of food growing. If they get their livelihood in that way. So, you have opportunities there for political targets basically being created.
Yes.
It reminds me a lot, too, by the way. We talked about these codes, the International Property Maintenance Code and some of these International Code Council. The inspector that comes out and does the inspecting has absolute, complete authority to basically say that your house isn't compliant. They can fine you like $1,000 a day, I remember reading, in the International Property Maintenance Code. So, you're getting to a point where we absolutely have not a system which is basically an elected system, a system of people that we elect and send to public office. It's completely transitioning over to a bureaucratic control system.
Right. And also, in 2749, it specifically precludes any type of judicial review over any action of the secretary. Now, 510, like I said before, it's not cooked yet. Senate Bill 510, if it goes through, which would be on the 29th, they're going to bring it back to the floor after Thanksgiving. I think 6:30 p.m. is the scheduled time for the opening of debate on Senate Bill 510. If this bill goes through, there are two directions that it can go. It could be sent back to the House as it passes the Senate for a very quick and speedy, rubber stamp by the Congress, or it could go to conference committee with H.R. 2749. Now, we don't know which direction they're going to take with this legislation should they be able to pass it. What our job is to create enough awareness of the effects of this legislation should it go through that it becomes a real burden on these officials to rubber stamp it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we gum up the works, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. My understanding is, too, that it would also basically put this stuff, there's a connection with the Department of Homeland Security is what I was reading.
Yes.
Basically, in case of food contamination and stuff, the DHS would be able to come in. And that alone is enough reason, I think, to oppose this measure all by itself.
If you need another one, yeah, that's a good one.
So, folks, I encourage you, we encourage you to call Congress. And I would say also call your state reps as well. Urge them to put pressure on Congress for you. Because I think it has a lot of weight if your state representatives go and represent you in Washington, D.C. That needs to happen. But the direct number to Congress is 202-224-3121. And you can also write and send faxes. Emails you can send as well, although I don't think they have as much weight as jamming their phone lines and fax machines. Doreen, I want to get into this Morningland thing. I don't know if you covered everything you wanted to cover about the food legislation.
Well, I think I covered enough. I'm sure that there's more, but we can move on. It's a good segue.
Yeah, let's get into this now. We're almost up against the clock again. It's amazing how fast the time goes. But you were on just a few weeks ago, and you were talking about these fine people at Morningland Dairy and Farm, where they had been raided and basically ordered to destroy all their cheese.
Yes, sir.
And I want to get an update on that. Where is that at now?
Okay, on Monday there was a conference call, effectively, between the circuit court judge of Howell County, the attorney that's dealing with this for Morningland from Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and the attorney general's office. They have tentatively set a court date for the three charges that the attorney general's office has levied against Morningland Dairy for early January. January 12th or 13th.
Okay.
And at this point, they're kept under embargo, not allowed to make any more cheese, not allowed to ship any cheese out. They are effectively paying to keep their wealth in prison.
Okay.
Hold by not right being there. Allowed to ship it.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
All right, we're back. This is Governor America. Doreen, I want to hold you over for a few minutes into the next hour if I can. I've
okay.
got a couple of phone calls. We're going to be bringing up Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. He's going to be waiting in the wings. But, you know, my understanding is from reading your material that there's been no batch numbers, no company name, no brand names assigned to the cheese that was actually seized from this Rossum food outfit in California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so really the tracking of this, the record keeping of all of this, has been very sloppy at best. You know, I'm thinking, you know, incompetence. A lot is being done to hide behind incompetence today, when really in all actuality, it's a setup and rigged process.
Right.
And that's what it looks like to me to be the case here.
That's what it looks like to me, too. When you take into account basically the fact that the FDA is very strongly on record as being against raw dairy, and that they raided this food club, not store, called Rawsome, seized product, did these tests on unbranded cheese with no batch numbers, had a photograph of a block of Morningland cheese that they never sold to this food club.
Yeah, you went through the invoices. They produced a photograph of some of the quote-unquote seized cheese, and it turns out that Morningland never even sold that cheese to Rawsome.
That's right. So where did it come from? And then this was the California Department of Food and Agriculture at their laboratory. But when you think about this for a second, it's scary for every type of production. The labs are all licensed by the agencies that oversee that field. So in order to use a laboratory test, it has to be a lab that has its license held by an agency that's sworn to the objectives, in this case, of the FDA.
Yeah.
So it's recommended by owner stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go ahead and squeeze in a couple of calls here real quickly here. John, please be brief. John in Tennessee, are you there? Hello,
can you hear
John.
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I'm here. Doreen, you may have already addressed this. If you have, I apologize. But every year I do a couple hogs. How is this legislation, this garbage, going to affect someone that does something for their own consumption?
If you butcher it yourself on your property entirely, and you don't try to give away, distribute, sell, or trade any of that meat, you may be able to not be too affected by this, but you will be affected if you purchase any feed.
Okay.
All right. Hey, well. Thanks for the call there, John. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Don in Ohio. Bye-bye. Go right ahead, Don.
Yeah, I was just wondering if this 510 goes through. What happens if we have a good sheriff that basically says it's not only unconstitutional, it's so un-American, it's, you know, worse than the Nazis?
Well, the problem arises here. The sheriff, while they're in charge of the county and against federal encroachment from federal agencies, they can be effective in that regard. When the state itself is doing the encroaching, it becomes more of a question of their authority, because the county is subject to the state.
So it would have to be basically, excuse me, it would have to be many sheriffs basically, we got 88 counties, so a majority of sheriffs basically complaining and saying, you know, we ain't going to let this happen in, you know, our county, you know, to have the majority. You think that would work?
I think that would be a real big help, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you much.
Right. Thanks a lot, Don. Appreciate it. All right, we got... We're at the bottom, at the top of the hour, actually, folks. We have Bob Chapman we're going to be bringing up in the next hour. But I want to hold Doreen over for just a few more minutes. We'll be back. It's true.